Welcome to our Lay Ho. I believe this is the last Sunday of September, and I'm Anna Cruz. I'm going to be one of your hosts, and we're waiting for Kay. Unfortunately, Sir Paul can't join us today. He's not feeling well, but anyway, we're here, and we have an amazing topic that we are going to talk about. Hi, Clay, Travelers Hacker, welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me well?
Yes, now I can hear you well.
All right. Good morning. So here I am again, being a traveler, just on the road every morning. Welcome, everyone, to the show. And good morning, good evening, and good afternoon to all our nurses who are viewing around the globe, and thanks for joining us. This is a very good topic, and I have a lot of questions coming out regarding this mm-hmm. issue of the topic that we're going to discuss today is our strikes. But before that, we'd like to say our well wishes and hope everybody's staying safe after Hurricane Helene passed through the southeast of USA. So our viewers from Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, and North Carolina, I hope you guys are safe. We're still having that little aftermath here in the Northeast Coast. It's still cloudy here. How's the weather in New York?
It is cloudy, very cloudy, and cold in here in New York. And my prayers are with you guys from our Filipino or nurses or relative friends or in Florida. It was devastating, right? I've been here for 9 years and I haven't seen the hurricane. And I hope you're all fine and happy lang. It will be over soon.
Yes, I was a survivor of a hurricane, actually. I think I will check off, like, you know, starting from the Philippines. We used to live in those floody area. It's in the Philippines when the super typhoon Ondoy happened, and then I was here in the U.S. when Hurricane Sandy had happened as well. Mm. I was in New York, so our entire building was shut down in Manhattan because the flood just went all over the building. So it destroyed the whole building, and nobody can get anything back. So I understand the sentiments and feelings of those people who were displaced, because I was one of those displaced when Hurricane Sandy had happened. But mm-hmm. the good thing is I was a traveling nurse, right? So I have two housing. So at least I was able to bring some food and gas, and, you know, it was really crazy. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this is what's happening also in those areas that were affected. And we'd like to let you know that there's a lot of help in those resources that you need to tap. FEMA, Federal Emergency Management mm-hmm. Agency, is our federal organization who organizes it. Please reach out to the resources that they have. Go to FEMA website, FEMA. FEMA is, again, the Federal Emergency of the United States. It's a federal. Once that is activated, then there will be help along the way from the federal government. And on top of it, you have your American Red Cross. So please use those resources. Don't feel alone. They have shelters for you as well. Okay. And all those people who are watching in the U.S. that don't know how to help, I have heard that if you donate something to Goodwill and you tell mm-hmm. them that you want to send it to victims of Hurricane Helene, they will take it as well and deliver mm-hmm. it there. So please reach out to those organizations. So thanks for that short time to plug that resources for our Filipino nurses and other communities as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like this time that we have hurricane or fire, you know, there are so many people that you don't know them, you're not a friend, you're not a relative, but help pouring in, you know, support. So please, like Clay said, I think Clay, it's better for us to, you know, post the link in FEMA later. So.
Oh, yeah, so we can, I'll post the link in the FEMA here in the chat. Mm-hmm. after the show. Okay, so you guys can look at resources. So again, those are resources available. They have posted it already for Alabama, for Tennessee. You know, that crazy, the hospital was under the water.
Oh, yeah.
If you have not seen it, if you have not heard about it, so it's in Unicoi, Unicoi County Hospital. So look it up. It's all over. You know, these are like situations that you wish we don't need to go through as a hospital with patients.
Well, as an immigrant myself and you, most of the time we ask for which is the best safest, right? Most affordable state living. I think we have to ask which is the most safe state in terms of, you know, natural calamity. A lot of people like we wanna go to Florida, it's sunny, but in our Facebook group, Leora, I haven't seen anyone ask which is the most safe state in terms of natural calamities. Because most of them were asking about you know, highest crime rate, lowest crime rate, best school. But now I think we have to ask that too, like ask which is the best state in terms of, you know, snow, hurricane, fire. Well, all we have to do is be prepared. That's part of our American dream, you know.
Yeah, there are states I would say that are kind of like where people go because they feel like natural weather wise or those like hurricanes, big storms like that, they don't happen as often. I mean, they don't happen as frequent as other places. So I would say one of the places that a lot of people go is follow the retirees.
Yeah. Florida.
Where do people retire all the time, right? They said it's Florida. But before, Florida is full of hurricanes as well. Florida is a great place because majority of people retire there because of the no income tax state. So I think that's one of the major factors. And of course, the weather. But when it comes to calamities, you know, it always gets hit with those hurricanes because of the proximity and huge amount of exposure to the
water,
ocean. Atlantic
yeah.
Ocean. So anything coming from Atlantic Ocean, you know, you're going to get hit with hurricane. It's just a matter of how big is it, how powerful is it. So you're prone to that. But a lot of people are going, I would say, in my observation, is Las Vegas, Nevada, because it's far from the Pacific Ocean. And then the other one is also from going to North Carolina. I think the Carolinas, yeah. So the Carolinas is still a top spot for retirees onto the East Coast. But when it comes to West Coast, it will be, in my observation, is Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, not necessarily.
Yes, you're retiring. Of course, we want to have fun and go to the trip.
All right, Nevada. So both states have no income income tax state. So I think that's what makes it, you know, appealing to a lot of retirees. Yeah. So now, you know, these are things that we need sometimes to think about, you know, long-term goal, because crisis can happen anytime. Crisis, one of that crisis is called strike.
Right? Yes.
Strike. When a hospital goes into to strike, hospital and the community goes into crisis when it comes to healthcare delivery. So that is a very, you know, a very important thing that we will need to discuss, because why do strike happen? And I mean, what do we have to do with it? Why do we need to discuss strike in nursing?
Well, I can't believe one of the member of our Leora. So, Mom, are you for real? Are you going to talk about nurses' strike? Does it happen in a first world country like America? I thought it's only happening in our country or in first world country. I said, no. Strikes also happen even in a first world country, even in the country of Uncle Sam. Because, you know, just like our country, have a lot of strikes, there are a lot of reasons, especially for us healthcare workers, nurses. As we all know, that there are so many reasons why. So, number one, hey, number one reason why price cap and of course inadequate staffing levels, which has been a long time issue, a long time problem here in the US. That's why we're hiring international nurses. The nurses from here are not enough to work in the hospital. And you know, it's a, how would you say, it's a domino effect. Right? Like it works an inadequate starting level. There's gonna be a lot of burnout, a lot of people will resign, and not only that, all it's all about wages and compensation. Again, one of them person who messaged me, really, Mom Anna, in US, the wages and compensation are not enough. Do not compare what we earned before in the Philippines or in your country here, because you know the inflation rate, the cost of living, it's so different. I mean, compared to where we came from, pay, earning and working here is better. But if you're going to live for a long time here, you can feel the inflation rate. You can feel the inadequate staffing levels. I mean, like you play, you've been a nurse how many years now here in New York or in the US? I mean, you for only 9 years, and I can feel the highest level, the inadequate staffing levels, the wages compensation, and of course, remember workplace safety, violence in the workplace, the mental health and burnout, and health insurance and benefits. These are the reasons behind nurses' strike. Please don't think, oh, we're going to be in the US, first world country, we're going to earn per hour. I have never thought that strike will happen. Yes, it's happening, not just only from the first world country. How about you, Kay? What are the other reasons you think why nurses strike?
Yeah, I think that's one important thing there. Why they have to strike is they're not getting the safety ratio that they want. I think that's the most common. We all know that nurses are spread thin. Spread thin means in New York, that's already 1 to 40 patients in a rehab, nursing care, nursing home. We also have 1 to 7 patients in ER. That's a lot already. So a lot of international nurses coming in here will say, oh, I had 1 to 60 patient. No, I mean 1 to 40 is nothing. But you have to remember, nursing outside United States, we do team nursing. Team nursing, which means today you might be just medication nurse. Okay? So 1 to 40, you're giving medication to all that 40 patients. I can do that too. You know, that's number one. But in the United States, it's not. Primary care is the nursing here in the United States. That's the model, primary care nursing. So, which means primary care nursing is you are all over going to be taking care of this patient, not just medication. All the discharge order, all the admission, all the teaching, all the carrying out of the orders is you. It's not just medication. So, that's one thing I think where a lot of people don't realize it is. They said, oh, we're used to that, 1 to 60, 1 to 70, but not on a primary care model. Okay, again, team nursing model is a model where you use there's high volume of needs, where there is really, really shortage of nurses. And that is very common in our country, like in the Philippines, in other developing countries like Nigeria. Those are the countries that you will see this team nursing will happen because there is really shortage. Second factor there, even if we take care of 1 to 60 patient in the Philippines, have you ever heard anything about lawsuit on nurses?
No, I work 12 years, hey? 12 years in
Not
the Philippines.
a single thing. Why? Because nurses don't have money. And before you can actually avail a lawyer yourself, you need to have so much money to sue someone. Okay. In the United States, the legal assistance is very accessible. The legal assistance is affordable. Even if you don't have money right now, there are lawyers who are willing to do a
Pro
service
bono.
for you. Yeah, it's called pro bono. Pro bono is they're gonna give it for free for consultations. But there is also a thing called contingency service. Contingent means sometimes that lawyers would say, okay, I think you have a strong case, but you don't have money right now. So what we're gonna do is if you have a settlement, we're gonna just get the money from that settlement as a payment. So that will help our nurses in situations that are being sued, that have strong cases to avail that justice. So seeing that, there is a big difference. Now, why do nurses complain when it's unsafe? It's because it's their license on the risk. Number one, that's their livelihood. Number two is they can be sued, okay, for negligence, malpractice, or definitely negligence. If you're not seeing your patient, because there's so many patients to see, then there's a possibility that harm can happen because of negligence. So again, the model itself is very different. So when this nurses feel that their patient's life and their license at risk, they will speak up. And that's what I would say. America is the land of the free and the brave, right? So I think one of the factor there why we're where we are is we have the freedom to express those concerns, and there is a law. The justice system it doesn't only serve the rich, but it also serve the people who might not have financial resources at the beginning. So that being said, it's really is the safety. And you mentioned something very important there, Anna, is workplace violence. There is an increase of number of healthcare worker abuse or assault
Being a whole yeah.
in the ER too, especially. Did you have an experience on that, Anna, like where you were assaulted by a patient?
Oh my God, I am grateful and thankful that I don't work in the ER like her all. But he shares his experiences, right? Like they receive verbal threat, they receive it's all a whole, it's a good thing that he can move fast when he was not being hit. But thankfully, because we were in the OR, I think the assault that I can categorize is when I used to work in a pediatric nursing home. And parents, they're on edge, they worry about their kids. So they somehow verbally abuse attack me, and but not into is but yeah, like you said, healthcare violence or violence at workplace is very common, not from our peers, but mostly from the patient itself and from the relative. And hey, have you heard that shooting doesn't happen only in school, but also in a hospital and in a mental arts building and clinic? So it's sad, like we are here to take care of them, provide care, program will be well, and this is what we're getting. That's why strikes happen, because nurses are getting tired of being overworked, being abused, being assaulted, and not getting the correct benefits. How about you, Kay? You were in a nursing home before. Have you experienced being
I think I stayed too short in a nursing home, so I see the exit door. I ran out as fast as I can. And yeah, there were so many unsafe issues. My experience was I was a new immigrant, and I was told I'm the only nurse in the whole department, in the whole building. I mean, it's a small community nursing rehab facility. New York is not like area wide, but it's actually, high rise. So in the unit, I was told I'm the only RN, so I needed to sign some documents for medication administration. And I said, no, I'm not going to sign this. So I refused it. I know it was wrong, so I did not involve myself. But there is a pressure from the administration to comply because we're very short. But I will never put my license to risk like that just because you want to save money. So for me, I head out the door as fast as I can. However, I work in a trauma center, and And there was, it's a level one trauma, and we have like a lot of patients that into a situation unexpected trauma, and then their family goes out of control. So I did experience getting hit, and I was pregnant back then, and I just got a blow in my stomach because they were out of control like that, and I got hurt. But good thing my baby was fine. But those are things that can happen. And then the second thing was I was told to pick up a patient, and the patient was very combative and does not want to go with the transporter. And I went, as soon as I went there to the med-surg floor, I see the door open from afar, and I see also a flying, what do you call it, crutches. I saw a flying crutches. I said, "Is that my patient?" Right? So I don't think I want to go there. Can I just go back to where I was? So I'm not even 5 minutes in med surge, and I asked the nurses there, "Is this the usual life here?" And they
A
said,
new
"No.
normal, very normal,
This
or
is,
ever going to work.
yeah, they said this is very common." And I feel bad because I'm only there for 5 minutes, and I couldn't take it. But anyway, I went to the patient and I said, "No, I'm here. I'm your nurse. I'm taking you to the operating room." And I started talking to him nicely, greeted him, and the response was, "Get the F out of here. I'm gonna smack your face." I'm like, "Wait a minute. What did you just say?" I'm just a messenger, you know. So I said, "I'm sorry about that, sir. We'll address this." So I called my director right away because I don't feel safe, you know, coming close to him. So if this is happening to if this had happened to me in a short span of less than 10 minutes, I cannot imagine how many of our frontline nurses in the ER, in the med-surg unit, in behavioral department, who was experiencing the same thing, but they don't have a tool to protect themselves. You know, you feel like you need to be a black belter before you apply on those jobs.
Aside from being an RN, right? Another qualification must be a black belt.
Yeah, like a self-defense, right? A degree or a master's certificate of self-defense. And I've heard a lot of hospitals are being proactive now by providing those services for nurses. But the question is, do we really need to do that? Maybe that can help, but also creating a protection itself for the staff. Not the staff is the protection of your hospital. All right, so it is really providing those help. So if this is not being addressed by the hospitals or the employers, a lot of these nurses will prompt into, you know, start forming and go on a strike to address on a bigger scale. And the way to do it is to use the social media or the media to pressure the employer and also pressure them because there will be work stoppage. Okay, and what happens during work stoppage, Anna, is when these nurses started to apply for, because there's an application process for it. You cannot just go outside and pick it.
You cannot just go outside in your lobby or in your parking lot and just line up. You will be part of abandonment.
Yes, you cannot do that. You cannot just self-protest on the street. So there is a process to do that. And I don't like going personally on strikes if we can talk about it. So for me, there is a process called mediation, negotiations. So majority of these leaders will go on negotiations with the employer. It's a many rounds of negotiation. It's not just one time that we sit down and we
Takes
disagree
a
and then we
while.
leave. So it's a back and forth negotiation, and I have seen this happen many times that there were, you know, in upcoming potential strikes that did not happen because both sides agreed on a term. So it's a back and forth. It can be like 5 times, it can be 10 times back and forth with the hospital administration or the organization or the employer to divert that plan, okay? Or to end that plan of strike. So for me, it's always nice to sit down and talk first before you go into those strikes because it's very costly, not only to the employers, but of course to the nurses.
Be out of work, right?
Yeah, some of them, they're covered only after a certain time, but if it's unextended, they're not paid anymore. So and it's, of course, they're scared of their, who's going to take care of their patients? That's the most important thing, right?
I
Who
don't
they're
remember when we'll stop worrying if the patient itself, like,
Yeah,
everyone
so
who will suffer if the strike will go through. Like, but you're right, Clay. It takes a while before it can happen. You kind of just, oh, come on, let's go outside and let's strike the placard and say, we quit, we quit. It
it's
doesn't
like
happen
YOLO, right? YOLO, let's
that
go outside. So
way.
like, no, that's not how it's done. So the process there, if there is no agreement on both sides and no negotiation, so they kind of like set a strike date and they should meet an agreement. I mean, they should create an agreement before that. That's the goal, is to create an agreement before that strike date. Some organization will have union representatives. Union is an organization that advocates for the welfare of the nurses or the employees. So there is a thing called contract. And usually a contract will expire on a certain day. Let's say a contract, a 2-3 year contract for these nurses or this group of nurses will end on September 30. There will be a lot of discussion already prior to that September 30. But however, if there is no settled agreement before September 30, that might trigger, those organization, nursing organization to start collecting information regarding strike, preparing their staff. So for the nurses, this is like finding, making sure that the unit is covered. And also this is the hospital's responsibility as well. So what happens to that? There are hospital preparation. One part there is, of course, using temporary workers, agency. So I am a traveling nurse. I always get this text message saying, potential strike in New York, potential strike in Washington,
California,
and they're notifying us already like a month ahead, But I have never signed on this strike. I don't want to deal with that. For me, there are people who would go and help because there's patients that needs to be covered. Totally understandable, right? But there's some people who thinks this is not the right thing. For me, I
Me
stay out of that. I stay out of
personally.
that. I mean, I'm 18 years travel nurse. The money for me is not important with that, but for me, I'll support the nurses who I stand by the nurses who are sharing their sentiments, but there are people who will do otherwise. For me, it's a matter of, I respect whatever they want, but there are ways to support our nurses in the picket line as well, and not accepting certain contracts. I'm not saying certain all of contracts are bad, but certain contracts are not really supporting the nurses. So I would say, travel nurses, pay attention to the contracts that you're signing. There are ways to support our nurses in the front line, fighting for the right thing. And you have to review the contract because not all contracts are supportive of that. So going back, Anna, so the hospital will start collecting information or preparing to hire temporary nurses. The second thing that they do is if there's like surgical procedure or elective procedures, they will postpone it. So it's the patient who's going to get hurt from this. Okay. Number three, of course, it's the hospital do not have sufficient workforce. So what will happen is some of the administrators will have to go pull their sleeves and work,
We
right?
haven't been working for a long time. That's why.
So if you have a nurse, no offense to our nurse leaders, right? A lot of them are very qualified to be a nurse. But again, if you have not done a specific procedure for 5 years, would you be still considered as 100% competent? For me, I think you need refresher. Okay, so any nurse leaders who's not in the front line, direct patient care for many years, they kind of lose their skill. And this is not attacking any leadership. This is attacking any person who has not done a specific procedure for years. They certainly lose special skill. Okay, and what they can do is they need to go refresher before that. Also, there is a risk if you have a lot of temporary nurses coming in and there's no resources to ask, what are the likelihood you will make mistake? Okay, so for me,
again, it boils down, the patient will be the one who will suffer.
Yeah, the patient will be the one suffering. And it's not like the nurses wants to do this, but the nurses has been, I mean, the patient has been suffering from low staffing ratio anyway, right? So this is like just on a second level, right? So it will also hurt the finances of the organization of the hospital, because now you're diverting patient out of your hospital, you're canceling procedures, and we all know procedural departments are the revenue makers of the hospital. If you cancel that, if you postpone that, there's no income coming in. And your practitioners, your providers are salaried. They're not hourly, right? So they're still going to get paid, regardless they have patient or not. So it's really a lose, for me, it's a lose situation on the patients. And, but that's why it's very important not, you know, not to get there. If we can negotiate things, let's negotiate things. Let's talk about it. But sometimes, you know, organizations are very profit oriented and they're not seeing the impact really this will bring. So for me, are is striking bad? Actually, not necessarily. No. So for me, that's my personal opinion. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of opinion in here. Is striking bad? Absolutely not necessarily. It's just a meaning that there has not been an agreement in place on a specific time, and they're trying to use different ways, and this is one of them, to really catch the attention of the hospital. Hey, you're not listening to me. You know, let's go up to the next ladder. What's our next strategy? So, you know, is it always successful? I have seen strike that has lasted so long. So were they successful in getting? Maybe if they have like demands of like 20 demands, maybe it went down to 10 that was approved. So is it a win situation? For me, anything better than yesterday is a win.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, you know, so for you, have you seen those... have you seen those commotions or disputes regarding like nurses going on a picket line versus nurses who wanted to stay?
Well, let me tell you about the current state of nurse strike in the USA. As we all know, I'm from New York, so it was January 2023. Over 7,000 nurses from Mount Sinai Hospital and Montefiore Medical Center went on strike. I was there on a contract as a regular traveler, not a strike traveler. I was on my last week, and my recruiter was like, come on, sign up for a strike A. I was like, yeah, I love money for my concerts, but I'm not going to cross that line. I'm here for the patient. I mean, I'm not condemning those who signed for the strike. It was very unfair, I'm not going to lie. You're only going to work this amount of hours. You have a accommodation because they want to make sure that you're going to work that week. You have a transportation, but that's not for me. I like you, my advocacy is for the nurses and for the patient. We are making noises because we want to be heard. And that was my first U.S. strike experience in New York. And it only lasts for 2 or 3 days. And you know, it opened another horizon of my understanding of nursing in the USA. Because when I was in the Philippines, I was telling myself, oh, when I arrive in the USA, all I'm going to go is work. Because, you know, I'm getting paid. But then working here for almost 9 years, I realized the amount of payment or salary that we're getting, the benefits that owe or ask is not enough. The violence, the assault that we're experiencing from the patient and the family, it's not enough. That's why these nurses are brave enough to make noises, to go on strike. And like you mentioned earlier, there's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. when strife happens, meaning strife in a relationship. We talk a lot, we ask about it, we went to therapy, it's not working. We have to do something about it, so we're gonna make noise. So that was my first and I hope last experience of strike. New York City in Mount Sinai and Mount Azure. And I read one of my workmates that I used to work in travel nursing, Minnesota nurses strike in 2022, wherein 18,000 nurses across Minnesota are participating in the 3 days. I think the longest strike that I read was only 3 days. And of course, California strike 2022. Marvin, hello, you should be with us today. Representing California. Thousands of nurses in Northern California organized by the CNA walk out and protest against unsafe staffing levels. Hey, I am so jealous in California. I am so jealous how strong the union and how strong the impact they make every time they, you know, they have a strike because of their staffing ratio. I hope that it will happen soon in New York.
I think these are, my observation is, you'll see those strong union and workforce power, or I would say unity, when there's a lot of laborers in that area. So that's why California is solid on this, because we have a lot of our laborers in California. California is one of the highest, highest when it comes to nursing recruitment. Okay, New York also. New York is one of the highest employer for nurses. Texas is following that. I have talked to nursing organization, not union, but they're very advocative of nurses in Texas. So I'm seeing a move there. That's my observation for the past 10 years that I've been really paying attention to the U.S. workforce. And also, I started to see some movement in Florida as well, because there's a lot of deployment in Florida when it comes to recruitment of nurses. So these states are getting bigger. How about the other? Like you mentioned, Minnesota. I'm like, how many Filipino nurses are in Minnesota? I have seen an increase, really, rate of nurses going to Minnesota. And there is like formation of new nursing organizations in Minnesota. Interestingly, we are seeing more of this. So in other places. I went to Connecticut. I never heard of strike in Connecticut so far
neighboring state.
Connecticut is not your usual destination for international nurses, and not, it's very few jobs for travel nurses in Connecticut. But they have numbers, okay, because of the proximity into New York City. But when it comes to comparison of volume of nurses, really not a lot of people are in Connecticut versus people in Texas or Florida. Okay, so there's also a thing called volume. Mm-hmm. How many nurses are there in that area? Have you heard of a nurse strike in Idaho? I personally have not heard of, maybe because it did not. If there are strikes there, no, I'm not discounting you or discrediting you. But if there are strikes there, probably it did not reach to the national level attention. Okay, so there are local stations who might be able to pick up those strikes, and then they will avert it. Avert means they will stop it, eventually they will come into an agreement. So that's what we wanted to happen is, the hospitals, I think the nurses just wants to be heard, really. And heard that this is going on and this is what's happening, and we hope that you do something. If the employers are not doing, they're kind of like technically closing their eyes and ears to what the nurses are feeling for a safety reason. And then I think that's the moving force there for our nurses to go on a strike, because if you don't want to listen to us, then we're going to put pressure using media, national attention. And when that happens, it impacts everyone. So for me, the goal is really, let's talk. I took my certification of negotiation, and this is actually part of what we were taught is as much as possible, you don't want to go on strike if you don't have to.
What will be the last thing, very last thing that will happen?
Yeah, you cannot get it all, but you can. We can discuss
halfway.
Something. Yes, you know, sometimes not even halfway. It's just really the priority. What is the priority of this? If there's like 10 demands or 20 demands, will you get the 20 demands out of it completely? If you get it, that's great. But what if not? You know, that's where settlement happens. Settlement. I'm not a lawyer, but this is
we're not a lawyer. Disclaimer. So, okay, yeah. I have a question. So, you live here in New York for so many years. My question would be, and a lot of our immigrant nurses are also asking about this: to work in a union hospital or not to work in a union hospital? What is your stand or right about that?
After working with so many hospitals and community, both community, academic, teaching, trauma center, community hospital. So there's so many settings that I went through. And I can say union can be good if the employer does not have a very strong management or good management. But if the employer has very good and knowledgeable management, that they're very good, they're, you know, these people are advocating for safety, then there might be not necessarily
that
a need for
it.
Yeah. So I guess union has pros and cons. You know, when people join a union, the pros and cons is, you know, somebody's advocating for you. Okay. But the sign for me there, if this hospital is unionized, there probably was issues before. You know, people will not unionize if they're happy with where they are.
Yeah.
Right? They will have like loyalty into their organization. So, and they will try, if they feel like their voices are heard and addressed, or their concerns, they're valid, I would say valid concerns are addressed, I think there is no need for that.
Of a union.
However, if the management has been dismissive and not really addressing the safety concerns of the people or the employees, the welfare of the people, then I would see there is a potential benefit of unionizing. However, on the other hand, I've also been to a unionized place where it's abused.
Yes.
So there are people who would abuse it just because they're union. And it's the sad reality. But if you are, you know, like an example is, I got personally was, you know, called by a union rep because I was being falsely accused for discrimination. And I said, I was a charge nurse of a trauma center. I need, this is a shift that, you know, there's an evening and night shift that needs to be covered and a weekend shift that we're skeleton crew. And I said, I cannot have her because she does not know how, she's not an experienced nurse yet. She does not know her ACLS yet. You know, I cannot, I do not have a time to train her. However, you can put her, this person for training in the day shift. But because they have like special arrangement that she goes to school, that's why she can only work on a weekend. Like I said, her patient priority for me is more important than accommodating the needs of the staff. If the staff cannot provide safe patient care, I cannot have her here. And I gave, so you know, and I written like objective ways. It's not something personal against her, but it's something that is patient safety here. So eventually the union rep understood my situation and she was removed from that shift and put her in a day shift until she really gets her experience. I said, it really boils down. Union is, if you really mean patient safety, then you would listen to what I said, that my concerns were valid too. So sometimes people try to abuse it and try to go around. But of course, it's the union's representative to mediate those disputes. Right? So my question is, you know, have people used this as a way to manipulate or abuse the system? So some people did. But how many people will really benefit from this? I would say it outweighs those people who does the wrong thing. I said, there's a lot of nurses who are still good. So how about in your observation, Anna?
Well, I work in different settings of hospital. Well, we both work in OR. Small hospital, community hospital, level 1, level 2, or we have union and non-union. I work both. So I'm going to have benefits of working in union. You're going to have yearly increase on your pay, right? So something to be happy about that. And you can go back to school and they will pay for it. And you will have a free health insurance. And when you retire and you vested mostly 5 years, you're going to have a pension. But like what Kay said, if that hospital has a history of mismanagement, why suddenly after so many years of not having union and they have a union? Meaning something's wrong. Now, I also experienced working in a hospital wherein union is being used, manipulated on the benefits of these healthcare workers in behalf of their gains, personal gains. Like, you cannot do that to me. I'm going to call my union rep. But in reality, they are the problem. And aside from that, you have to pay monthly dues for the union. So sometimes union is being used to divide people. But sometimes union is being used, you know, like me, I use it personally or my school or my benefits. But like what Kay said, it has pros and cons. But personally, if you're going to ask me, I'm still up for having a union or work in a union hospital, but I wish that and I hope that it will not be abused. And also, my last travel job, I work in Bronx, eh? The union. Oh my God, go seniors. All you can hear from their mouth, you better not help them, Anna. You better not do their job. It's according to union, I was like, okay, but I'm just trying to help. So now,
what?
You.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's not a union discussion. Maybe it's just their own personal. Because I have
know,
experienced
I
it. I was trying to help too, and I was still, you know, I finished my job, I finished my work, and I see the other nurse, you know, still working, and
yeah.
I said, hey, you know what? Can I help you with something? And I was approached by the charge nurse, and I was told, no, she like literally grabbed me and pulled me and said, no, don't help because, you know, they're gonna get used to it. And I said, I mean, I'm done with my work, so
yeah.
I don't think it's a really, you know, dictated by union. I feel like sometimes also New York is, we all know that that's the jungle, the concrete jungle, right? So I've seen some, you know, I think they're more on advocacy, really on bonding, but I think maybe I've seen also, I cannot discredit that, but I've seen that practice also in other hospitals that I was pulled out because they said you shouldn't be helping. But I think it's not specific to an organization. I think it's mostly just personal, for you know, that person's values of or work ethics.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say everybody in the union will be, you know, will have that thinking, because we're supposed to be helping each other in a way.
Yeah, like for a bad apple or good apple.
Yeah.
You know? So, like you said, union could also be beneficial for the patient safety and also the nurse, but sadly, some nurses abuse and misuse it.
Yeah.
And I hope it will, and in New York, there are a lot of unions. We have 1199, we have NYFA, but, and I work with different hospitals that have both in union, but I'm telling you, okay, the other one, they all got union is useless in my hospital. The other one is a stronger one, so we're moving to the other hospital.
Yes, I've also heard like certain organization, the way the training is done for leaders,
mm-hmm.
you know, that if this is a hospital, it's a non-union hospital, the training involves like making sure that the nurses are, you know, being addressed, their concerns are being addressed. If the nurses' concerns are not being addressed and you observe nurses talking or gathering in one place, that's already a flag. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
what? Aren't
I
they
know,
all
right?
Should be this in one place here? Like, even your frontline leader, even if you're a, you know, frontline nurse, bedside nurse, I think we're all nurses, and I think we should be advocating for safety. But I think that's where I've noticed that that's where might be there's a tension between, or separation between, what
There's
are
a
we
fine
really?
line.
Yeah, there's a fine line.
There's an
What should
invisible
you?
line.
Yeah, so I think that's why I said we have a shortage of frontline leaders that are good, because they're put in a situation between choosing what's, safety that their staff is really raising concerns about, and their loyalty to organization. So that's where I would say one of the hardest job I would say is really being that frontline leader. How are you going to balance that? Right? If these nurses are being told to be flagged by your leadership, are you really going to do that? Will you do some actions against that? Unfortunately, that's how I've seen those trainings happen onto the nursing leadership. And they don't call it strike. They don't call it union training. They call it labor readiness.
We mean
So
better, look better, sounds better.
yeah, so labor readiness. Well, also the thing is, we have to understand that nurses are one of those one of those professional that's not really into like social laws. A lot of the nursing leaders don't even know what FLSA means.
True.
So if you're being guided by someone who does not understand the law, labor law, how are you going to be complying, right? So I think that's one thing that we're lacking also is the social studies when it comes to
Social
healthcare
studies.
workers, right?
So, okay, another question. So, we spoke about the reasons why nurses go on strike. We spoke about, the states that mostly have this union and the current state of nurses' strike in the US. And the union involving in strike, we'll discuss about that. But I want to go deep down. I mean, you mentioned it lightly earlier, the impact of strike on patient care and the possible or potential solutions to prevent future strikes.
So negotiations always number one. Negotiate. Always talk, and I would say mediate. Find a very good mediator. A lot of this nursing organization will have even included their lawyer. They have labor lawyer or human rights lawyer that is working with them. So I think having that strong person, strong leadership also, who can hear the sentiments of the people will benefit from this. So I think that's number one is really really talking, discussing. So for me, I think 95% of dispute happens because of miscommunication or
And
lack
being
of communication.
emotional, and being emotional too.
Yeah, so that is one thing, right? So I would say most of the arguments really are because of miscommunication or non-communication. And we all know this is a joke, okay? Don't take it seriously. There is a joke that what if all the countries are run by women,
Oh
and
my God.
they said we will not have war. And I was like, what do you mean? And
We're
it's
hormonal.
and they said, oh, because we just don't talk. We're upset and we don't talk. And it was a funny joke, like, if your wife says there's no problem, I have no problem, it
Then
means
there's a big
it is a
problem.
big problem, you're in trouble. So there's always that those jokes around that
But
women
it's
sometimes
true,
tend to
right?
keep
It's
to
true. It's
themselves.
half true.
Yeah, and they don't express themselves very well. So especially nursing is a female dominated profession, so most of the time we try to keep it as much as we can until we're ready to explode. Well, that's not really should be, and I think this is where we teach our incoming international nurses and new nurses that you need to be assertive and in expressing yourself. If something is
Advocate for
wrong,
yourself.
yeah, if something is wrong, ask your colleague or your leader, just for confirmation, did you tell me to do this? Just because I don't feel comfortable doing that. So it's really matter of communicating to people if you're not comfortable to that situation, don't wait until you're ready to explode. Don't wait until somebody's dead.
Yeah. If you're Don't be a hero.
Yeah, and in New York, we always have that slogan. If you see something, say something.
Say something. Yes, yes. And please don't feel bad. Don't be scared. Could be accused of not being a team player. You know, and it's also part of our culture that we don't want to complain or say what we feel, how we feel, what we think. We don't want to be accused of over-grammatic. So what we can do is keep our mouth shut, but inside there's an anger boiling, and then you're just gonna wait to explode. So please, for our Eastern immigrant nurses, wherever you came from, before you advocate for your patient, advocate for yourself first. And like I said, look for a mentor, ask for help, reach out. And after your contract, if you wanna work in a hospital or union, try it, right? I mean, you have nothing to lose. But please, mining for expectations, there will always be a pros and cons of working in a union hospital. So, I'm going to add the impact of a strike in patient care. Like, patient, I just want to review or summarize, like, the patient is the number one who's always being affected by the strike. And the loss of income on both parties. So before it happens, there's going to be a lot of negotiation. And don't always instantly, oh, come on, let's go strike. Or it's a process. Next question would be ethical question. To join or not to join. But we answered that before already.
Yeah, we did. We answered that. And It's, you know, there's nothing wrong by expressing it. For me, strike is never always a bad thing. But it does have an impact. You know, we have to always be aware of the pros and cons of each. And like I said, not one of the reasons why strike happens is because there was no agreement that was set. That happened, you know, and the mutual agreement did not happen on a specific date and a specific time that needs to be done. And this is not only common to nurses. If you look at the biggest strike history of the United States, you will see a lot more back then, you know, when there were fewer labor laws. Mm-hmm. But the more labor laws that we have, then the safe, you know, the better that our working conditions are. And when these people did strike long time ago, changes happened. You know? So now, what you're seeing now, what the laws now, what do we have, are based from you know, those issues that were raised up by people ahead of us. You know? So strike will always bring out something. Not only
and like
that,
you always say, there's always a strength in numbers. Like what you always say, right? There's always a strength in numbers.
Yes, correct. So for me, since majority of our nurses are not really vocal into, you know, how to fight for their own, they don't know their rights, there is a bigger advantage by having an organization that will stand by you. So I think that's why California has always been the number one.
I know.
When it comes to advocating for international, I mean, not only international, but for safer standards, you know, for nursing. So because they have that strong organization. So you will see, if you're the person who's not into asking increases, feel like, oh, I don't feel like talking to my boss because you know, I feel shy asking for increase. So this is very common to all of us that we don't ask, because majority of international nurses, you know, asking a leadership or a superior is like a disrespect.
True.
So there is that factor that they know we're not gonna ask. So we're just waiting here for them to increase it. But what if they're not increasing it for 3 years, 4 years, right? 5 years.
Yeah.
And I've
inflation.
Heard
inflation.
And inflation, we don't know inflation. I mean, a lot of nurses don't know inflation. They didn't realize that inflation went up to almost 9%.
Oh yeah.
But your salary remains zero. No increase, right? So So those are the things that were organizations that advocate for nurses will help. I think it will have more pros than cons. I think it will create big differences in the healthcare. We all know the healthcare system is broken. And this is where we can start making a change by educating ourselves and advocating for ourselves.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yes, nurses' strike happened in U.S. It doesn't mean that we're in a first world country, because I think a lot of some of the nurses have a wrong connotation about how come there's a strike happening there in USA, Anna. I thought you're a rich country. And I have to explain to them that it doesn't work that way. So strike happened because nurses need to be heard for our own benefits too. We need to make noises. So, do you have any last word, Miss Kay, for our today's topic? The last Sunday of the month, September. We have a lot. I can't
My
say
last word.
anything.
My last word is, nobody will advocate for yourself except yourself. Nobody will act on your best interests except yourself. Okay? If there will be people who you will be paying to do their job to advocate for your workplace like that, then we might be helpful. As for me, I know I will be the only one who's going to be advocating for my own self for the best interests of myself. But I might be able to pay some people to do some parts of the work, but doesn't mean that I should have zero knowledge of what they're doing. This is where education is very important. You educate yourself before you go into an organization. If is there a union in there, what do the union do for us? Okay, because there's things called contracts. So if you're a person who has very limited knowledge on how to fight for your own rights, then check out those benefits there. And they put it there. They put it in the job listing, if this is a hospital, this union or not, they will put it there. Because an employer that puts their union means that it's a good sign. That's how I will interpret it. A hospital or an employer that will put in a job posting that this is a unionized hospital, it means that somebody's really advocating for ourselves. I mean, for the nurses, who
We're
are
not
for
hiding
example.
it, you know.
But it's still your responsibility to talk before you even take those jobs. Talk and call the HR or call the nursing department before you take the job. I'd like to know more about the union. Is there somebody that I can talk to? And then they can talk to give you the union rep person. And usually during the onboarding on the first days of being hired, there's always a union rep that you can also talk to. You can talk to them. They will answer you all the time. What are the benefits of having a union? Okay, what are the benefits? What is it for me? What will I get from it? So education is very important. And that's what my last word is. Always educate yourself. Do not rely from one source. You have to do your due diligence because union, you have to pay for it. And there's a fee for it too. You know, want to make sure that the money that you're bringing in there is worth really what you're getting. Somebody's really advocating for you. So I didn't mind paying my union dues as long as as long as we're getting what is the goal for it. Okay.
And I think my last word will be working in different healthcare settings. I prefer to work in union because of the benefits that I was getting. And if you want to give it a try, please try. I mean, it doesn't hurt because I am more into the benefits, especially improving retirement and health insurance. So, thank you so much, Faye. Thank you for our viewers. I hope I open a little, about strike and union in U.S. Yes, there's union. Yes, there's a strike happening. And I wish that someday New York will have a strong union like in California, especially with the starting racial. And for all, feel better, get well soon. And we won't have lineup yet for next month, but I believe, okay, we have a lot of guests.
Yes, so we will definitely prioritize We try to gather information from our viewers, listeners on what do you want us to discuss for the month. And we do have a lineup of topics. We just need to make sure that we are prioritizing what needs to be addressed. Like today, these are important things, especially when you hear like, oh, even the doctors are unionizing, right? So it says something. If you're hearing those news, you have to pay attention to that. Also, there's a new news coming out, Anna, that not through the healthcare yet, but there are big organizations right now that is they're kind of like calling it lean management, which means they're cutting down on the middle management level. So those are the new things that are going and happening right now. So I don't think it's going to be, I mean, the healthcare system is immune to that. I don't think the healthcare industry is immune to that. I think we have too many middle people. That's why the cost of healthcare is really high. The question is, do we have the same productivity? According to the study, one healthcare worker brings in only about less than 50,000 to a company because of the amount of people workforce versus revenue. So those are good topics to discuss. We nurses are not into economics, but we really need to pay attention to those because it affects us.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers, what we hate.
Yeah, we
Okay,
need to put value
everyone.
in the nurses. Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us. And if you missed the spot, don't worry, you can catch up in our podcast. We have in Spotify and Apple. I don't have Apple, I am more of a Spotify. And also, you can also watch YouTube and Google Partners called Facebook page and also on Nurse Page, Traveler. Look
I'm
at her, she's
traveling.
traveling.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like driving now. As soon as we end this, my drive shift gear is on.
It's gonna be an Uber or Lyft.
Yeah, I can be, I just delivered a chair the other day.
Oh yeah. Well, if you think about running a business, we have a lot of stuff going on behind Lefora. We're not just being a parent, a mom, a wife, or in school, but we do a lot of some shenanigans helping our nurses. But you
Yeah,
wanna learn
so
more.
yeah, join Lefora, Filipino Nurses to US. It's one of the biggest community for international nurses coming to the US globally, global presence. And yes, join us. We already hit what, 230,000
Yes,
members.
yes.
Yay! Congratulations, all.
Yay. And guys, one more thing. It's gonna be over one. So being a bullet clean, nothing. So please continue preparing for your American dream. Don't stop reviewing, studying, taking the test. Never stop learning, like I said. Join the aura. Tune in with her post.
Right, so I'll shout out Zoe, hello Ronel, Marvin. I'm just reading the comments.
Gladys.
Gladys, Fern, Adrian,
Going,
Fern.
yep.
I hope you're enjoying your nice seat.
And
All right, so thank you
you
everyone.
all feel better. Get real soon. Have a good day, everyone. God bless you all. Thank you, Kat.
Okay, thanks you all.
Bye,
Bye-bye.
Kay.